Om Shanti, good morning. So actually Brother Ken's song summed up many things about intense effort. And the basic thing is that God becomes everything for the soul. And this is what Brahma Baba did. He's the one who really passed with honors, as did Mama and the various studies. And why was that? Because Baba, God, his task, his sanskars became everything for those souls. And because also they were not only thinking of their own purity or their own achievement, but also what to give to others, how to share to the whole tree of humanity. I think this is a very big inspiration for intense effort. What actually we as Baba's instruments can share with the whole tree. And you know, when there's a big variety of souls, you have to be very full of different treasures, full of different methods, full of understanding, full of compassion, full of flexibility. Because you can't serve all souls in the same way. It's like flowers in a garden. They require different amount of sun, different amount of water, different types of soil, and the expert gardener knows exactly what to do. And so to make intense effort, Baba said, tells us, you have to become experts. Like Brahma Baba became the expert server. And he was able to reach, and does still reaches the hearts of many, many, many souls. Because that stage of purity, which is called the angelic stage, works beyond time. It is always an inspiration. And it is always a power. But what does the word intense mean? I think Baba mentioned it yesterday. Intense means something that is continuous and constant. Because there's such a deep love for the aim of what one wishes to become. Of what one cherishes most, or what one treasures most. There'll be no distraction, because to be intense means to be very focused. But it is a focus that is also gentle and patient, as well as being very deep and determined. Because if you don't have that gentleness and patience with the constancy and the focus, it's so easy to harden. And once we become hard because of disappointment, because of, you know, looking at mistakes, all these types of things actually harden our heart and also our intellects, and then the effort is no longer intense. And we get to the word effort. What does effort mean? It means attentiveness because of caring. Effort, in essence, is that attention. When you care for something, you'll have a lot of attention on it naturally. Yes, the gardener will have a lot of attention and care on his garden because he wants to bring out the speciality, the special fragrance of each bloom. You know, a mother will have a lot of care and attention on a child to sustain it properly. The jeweler will have a lot of care and attention on the jewel when he's making it, when he's creating it, so that the sparkle comes out. You find that in any actual service, you know, in Lokic life, a profession is a service, isn't it? Serving somebody. And only when there's care in that service can there be a real result or a benefit, a benefit in the sense of a contentment for the self, a sense of fulfillment for the self, but also for the person who's receiving it. You know, a doctor must have loving care for the patient. But while saying all that, attentiveness and care is effort. The doctor, the gardener, whoever it is, doesn't get entangled, has a good partnership with the willingness of the person, with the health that the person has. If the gardener, with time, with many other factors. So if I'm to have intense effort, there really has to be that care for the self and the care for the Baba's task. But also I must learn to partner. You know, usually things go wrong and we become intense in the wrong way because we get over-focused and we forget to partner with God. We forget to partner with drama. We forget to partner even with our own sanskaras. And so then a person is driven rather than motivated, you know. Because if you're driven, if a person is driven and driven and driven, again, there's a kind of harshness in the soul. And so what do we need actually to make the intense effort that helps us to pass with honours? Yes, of course, we look at Brahma Baba. I think Sister Jenty yesterday spoke about this, following the footsteps of the father. And Daddy often speaks about it. Look at one. And when we look at one, we start to understand quite a few things. And one of them is this whole aspect of attention and attentiveness. And attentiveness is when there's an absorbed attention, what happens is that I no longer create thoughts. In the beginning, we need thoughts in order to have that effort of attentiveness. But there is a point, isn't there, when after the thoughts are created, when there is that absorbed attention, then this is called awareness. I am in the awareness. That is, I am that. For example, a ladder. When we use a ladder, we use it to climb up, and then when we're up, we stay there. We reached where we wanted to reach. It's a bit silly for someone to keep going up and down the ladder, up and down the ladder, up and down the ladder, up and down the ladder. This is what we do, you know, when we say, I am a soul, I am peaceful, I'm a point, I'm a soul, I am peaceful, I'm a point, Om Shanti, Baba, Baba, yes. Up and down the ladder, up and down the ladder. This is a bit useless, this type of effort. Because it's becoming, Baba has said this, it's becoming the embodiment of thoughts. Whereas actually, I do need thoughts. And why does Baba say don't think? Because after thoughts, there must be awareness. I must be in that state. Because then service is very easy from that state. Then when Baba yesterday, at the very beginning, he talked about, he didn't actually talk about service, he did the drill. And then he said, can you hear the suffering of your brother's souls? Are you doing something for them? So what did actually Baba do? Again, we call it drill in terms that it's an exercise, but it's actually much more than that. It is Baba going into a state of awareness. He didn't simply do it as a technical drill, although we call it that. He went in that state of awareness where he's showing us what to do, how to do it. I, the soul, connected with the Supreme Soul. Or, I, the soul, connected with Bap Dada. very, very, very deep in the feeling of that peace and being that being of light. And I don't, the point is not to keep thinking about it. Yes, I have an initial thought, or two, or three, but then in that concentrated state, and in that concentrated state of awareness, this is called the lighthouse stage. And Baba has told us this is mental service. This is the service through the mind. And I remember reading recently in one little booklet from here. It says, when you are in fluctuation, you may still be able to talk. You may be still able to give a lecture. You may still be able to impress. You may still be able to give the course. Which is okay, fine. But in order to do that type of lighthouse service, the mind must be ever ready and stable. You know, if the mind is in fluctuation, it will not be able to, will not be in concentration. And when the mind is not in concentration, then it does not gather the power that comes from this introspection and then as an instrument distribute it. Because when distributing, one is in that stage of being connected with the self, connected with the Father, and just the instrument. What does that mean to be an instrument in service in that stage of Mansa Serva? It's I observe. I feel that deep inner peace. I feel God as the companion and as the mover, the one who's moving me. And you know, and I can observe. I don't get entangled in the action of serving. And you see, when I'm in awareness, I will not get entangled in thoughts because I don't have any. Of course, all of this requires a lot of subtle attention and checking. That's why it's easier to give a lecture. Or do a seminar or something. It's easier. Or write a book or do this, that's much easier. But to really be in that surrendered state of love to God, to Baba, which creates that concentration, in that state of detachment and love and the flow of that serviceable energy happening. Because the mind has to be stable. If the mind is not stable, can't be serviceable. And though we may all know a lot about knowledge, and though we do, I think we all do practice, service through the mind, and it's achieved. It's not that it's not achieved. Baba didn't say it's not achieved, but he says, you know, make it constant. And, you know, the big barrier is, I forget. I just forget to do it. And that's why the checking, am I introspective or am I distracted again? And sometimes service can be an enormous distraction. Because Baba, he showed us that I'm in that stage of deep concentrated awareness, in that state of deep purity and peace and light, souls are able to receive. And any souls anywhere are able to receive through that. That's the real service. And he has told us, increase it and increase it and increase it. And you notice, I don't know if you've ever done this, but when I've experimented to do it, you realize you go well for a while and then somehow things evaporate. And sometimes in the name of service they evaporate. I mean, it's not that you do, sometimes you may not do anything, you know, dramatically wasteful or negative, but, you know, little things. And this is another thing that can help us also to make that loving, intense effort is a loving effort for for the service of the self and of course the service of others. And that is make every day that determined thought. Baba said, make the determined thought inside yourself in a very incognito way. No show, just do it yourself personally. I don't know if you remember that. But it's like when he said that, it's so fully open. Anyone, anytime, anywhere can do anything. I mean, this thing, of course. They can get to that stage. There are no boundaries. There are no limitations. It's a matter of one's choice. It's a matter of determined thought. And if one makes a determined thought, then what you feel is this, that actually today my effort must be different. My attention must be different. Basically, in what I'm thinking, what I'm saying, how I'm feeling. Because usually, don't we often have second thoughts about things, don't we? We say one thing, but sometimes we can be thinking quite the opposite. And there's not sometimes a consistency or a constancy between the inside thought and the outward words. Ever notice this? No. That's good. I notice it quite a few times in myself. And you've got to do a lot of pruning on your mind. You know, that's the one thought. Okay, have that thought. Next, either, you know, make an action or just keep it, but not to create second thoughts. Someone said something. Very often it's better to take it on face value rather than thinking, you know, many other thoughts. What's behind it? What's behind it? These second thoughts drain us a lot. And this was they say the praise of Mama was she had no second thought. And if I don't want to think, I don't create that thought. Let me not create it. I, the master, will not create that thought. And so, this first attentiveness that becomes awareness, so important and so makes the self very, very powerful. And it's a one way to really sustain the self, because Baba was saying, good love, but now let there be more power. And that power comes through these exercises, through this subtle checking. And another thing that helps a great deal in making a progressive effort, you know, like I'm moving forward, moving upward, is to concentrate on realization rather than regret. We all make mistakes. No matter how many years in Gyan we may be, always there's always room for improvement. But one thing is I realize it. Another thing is I can go into the spinning of regret. And you know, if I don't have a high self-esteem, if I don't have a very deep self-confidence, and this is what happens, is people that are like that, souls that are like that, they tend to get very stuck on regret. And it becomes a poison. It's as bad as not realizing. Not realizing, or realizing and then going into this trip of regret and guilt, it's no solutions. There's no progress. If I realize something, what does it mean to realize something? I think when we realize something, we are honoring our aim. We are honoring the self. We are honoring the relationship with God. We are honoring the relationship with the family. Because in realization, I am happy. I am glad that I have seen what I have seen. And because it can bring upheaval or sorrow or pain, I choose and I wish not to repeat it again. Right? It's my wish. I don't want to be repeated. I don't want to repeat it. Yes, Srimat says, but many things Srimat says, but one of the things Srimat says is be soul conscious, which means don't keep violating the self over and over again. And especially regret, we find that that is a very big sabotage of the soul's ability to pass. So, you know, don't sabotage yourself with regret. Baba says, let go. Learn and let go. Learn and let go. Learn and let go. And you see, this doesn't happen once. It happens many times. And some sanskars are extremely friendly. Very friendly. And we want to let go of them. We've had the attention to let go of them. And they do go. They do go. It's not that they don't go at all. But sometimes a root stays there. And then that root can subconsciously deceive the soul. And something's happened. Not as bad as before, but something may happen again. But it's, again, okay. I mean, it's 2,500 years so of body consciousness. I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day, they say. Maybe that's not a good example, but the idea is never to. I mean, when I realize I'm never afraid to see what I have to see, because in real realization, I trust God's love. This is what you see with Daddy. You know, Daddy Jank. You know, always a deep trust and faith in Baba's love, and she often talks about her effort. Brahma Baba must, you know, I'm sure the same. If I don't trust God's love, I may shy away from realization. And then what I will do is, because if I have knowledge and awareness, I will actually just go into regrets. Or denial also. I may deny it. Who, me? I have this ego? No, it's your projection. I'm insensitive? Who told you that? You've been listening to other people, yeah? You know, so either regret or denial. And the problem is that a person who has a lot of denial, if they really see something, then they go into regret. Why? Not only have not trusted Baba's love, but they haven't seen themselves properly. I'm a soul. To go really deep into this, I'm an unlimited, unique actor in the drama, and I'm a direct child and student of the Father, and I'm a direct brother soul of all the souls in the world. There are many good things. Have I truly appreciated these things? No, if I don't appreciate, I cannot change. And even change, what's that mean, change, transformation? I mean, sometimes people make a big effort to, they think that change means to create something that's never there. But actually, the real word is, what does Baba tell us in every morning? Remember. Remember, you are a pure, peaceful, loving soul. Remember, you belong to me. Remember. He always says, like his return. Yes, I have to get rid of the pollution, but he's very cooperative in that. Because sometimes when effort goes in the wrong way, I feel, you know, I have to create sweetness. Very sweet I have to be. and extremely happy. I have to be extremely happy. I have to create this happiness. This is not transformation. This is not intense effort. Real intense effort is to connect and reconnect with that original self. I am pure. I am peace. I do belong. To reconnect. And yes, we have to do that quite a lot because we do get disconnected a lot. Often, of course, unintentionally. And that's the whole reason for having it. The reason for having attention is not to be disconnected from what I am and to go into something else that I think I am. You know, I think I'm the role. I think I'm this person. So connectedness in silence, this is what is needed a lot. And this comes to another point of intense effort is the use of silence. I realize personally, you know, though I like silence a lot and go into it, I was not using it in every situation. And this is something that happens. We forget to use deep silence in certain difficult situations. What is the result of that? I will then focus on the problem and not on the Father and not on God. I will not focus on Baba. I will not focus on the pure self. I will focus on the problem and then I get entangled in that problem. Because you can really only deal with a problem if you are an observer of it. But like with anything, once you get entangled, you tend to be lost in it because the perception and the perspective becomes very limited because of emotions. Emotions always limit my perspectives. And can even ruin my perception. And so, to be able to use this connectedness of silence. Because, you know, what happens is when situations come up, and it happens to all of us, when dealing with people, when dealing with situations, we try to protect, we try fix, you know. Sometimes we feel obliged to be the great fixers of the drama. You know, you just get headache with this. Defend, protect, over clarify. I mean, it's good to clarify, but not over clarify. And, you know, all these things are coming up. You know, there's a problem, there's a soul who is problematic, they're doing this or they're doing that or this is happening, this, you know, trying to fix it, trying to find balance, trying to, you know, say the right things, and usually ends up, because there's nervousness inside, the wrong things are said. And then a lot of misunderstanding through words. A lot of misunderstanding. It's so much better to actually just go at that moment into the depths of silence. And, you know, sometimes the things can be very direct, you know, it can be very clear and direct. It can be a lot of defamation, criticism, many different things. But if I can go deep into my silence and create another level of consciousness, another level of energy, this is what Baba has called atmosphere. Because, you know, that creating of that atmosphere is something that is so very important more and more because, you know, if souls are very emotional, they're not going to be listening properly. And if I'm emotional when I'm speaking, I won't be thinking straight. I won't be speaking straight. And then things become more complicated. I'm trying to protect and defend and balance, and then the opposite will happen. And always, one of the things that really helps us to pass. And it really is of intense effort in the sense of, you know, awareness to heal something or a situation is silence. Go deep into the silence of the self. Because that's the only way that something alternative to the situation can be created. I can't create it through logic. I can't create it by saying to the other person, you know, Baba says this. And the person, yeah, I know Baba says this, so. Srimat says that, you know, the Muli said this today, okay, you know. But maybe the other person is not in that state. And you know, you can't force and convince and cajole, you know. I have to go deep into my silence and create an alternative energy, peace. The power of peace is the power of, you know, really bringing harmony, and it enters the situation or the other people. But we forget to do this. We are overcome because we're trying to use logic too much, or there's some kind of fear. There's some kind of insecurity. And I feel I have to fix it through gyan or a method or this or that. And many times now, this may come later, definitely, but not as an initial step. And the more serious a situation is, or a relationship is, if it's in a negative state, the more negative it is, or the more serious it is, more of that initial silence has to be used. Not the first thing, knowledge. Not the first thing, words. They come later, when things are more settled inside. Because a lot of pain and suffering of souls is that they're very unsettled inside, and and sick, and the things keep turning over and over. Fear, depression, worry, lack of self-esteem, it just keeps going on and on. And sometimes you see even souls, they give courses of self-esteem, but they don't have it themselves too much or for too long. It's still good they give it because others take benefit, but let me use that silence, which is deep in remembrance, and that silence that goes deep into remembrance. Let me not, again, it's very, very, very important, not that it doesn't become just an exercise, just a drill, just something technical. Let me have such an attention and awareness that it's the heartfelt silence. Not a brain silence, you know. Yes, yes, I should be quiet now. Yeah. Okay, it's good, but the heartfelt silence where there's that connectedness and there's that creation of this very, very peaceful energy. And in that peace, you know, there's also a kind of protection, you know. Souls feel a protection from negativity. They feel at ease. And when a soul feels at ease, they open. When a soul feels at ease, they trust. And of course, this type, using the silence, is a bit like homeopathy, spiritual homeopathy. You may not get the result straight away, but I've got to still keep using it. And, you know, I'm still caring. It's not that I'm using this science because, you know, I'm fed up. You know, leave them to their destiny and their fate. You know, how much can I say anymore? How much can I do? And not this type. This is not the silence that Baba speaks about. That this, like, spiritual homeopathic silence is something that gradually the others are able to feel. And again, if I do it, at least it protects me, you know. I don't go into judgments and criticism and secondary thinking. This is a very big avenue, or I would not say avenue, it's the biggest highway for waste. Secondary thinking. People say something, but really there are many, many secondary thoughts about it. And big way. So silence will stop all this. You hear Baba say, stop. And this recently something came out about this. Stop and fly. Because when Baba says, go beyond, that's what it means. You stop. You go beyond. But you go beyond, you can only go beyond and connect when you go inward first. It's not you just go beyond. If you don't connect with your roots, you can't connect with the infinitive or the eternal. And this was always the quality of Daddy Prakashmani, you know? Because she was so beyond, she was always here. But filled with that light and with that love from beyond. Because only when I'm beyond, when my consciousness is on another level, can I deal with everything here very positively. And because one of the things that this does is I do not get into details of others' conflicts. I do not get into details of others' sanskars. It just simply doesn't help. You know? People love stories, but you know, they're interesting, I suppose. But in terms of spiritual service, details do not help at all, usually. And I remember once Daddy was saying, because somebody was, some terrorist explosion had happened somewhere, and you know, different countries, different religions, and we happened to at the Oxford Retreat Centre, there happened to be people from both places, and you know, the thought was to meditate and send vibrations and help, and you know, they were kind of lucky people who had come. Says, but we're not sending to that group. We're not sending to that group. And then Daddy said, actually, this the silence of service is the silence of the angels, those who are really connected with God. And they don't get involved in the karmas of who's right, who's wrong, who did what. Who, you know, you never know what karmas are being enacted out. Go beyond and just give light to all. And this, I feel this is what Baba, you know, is asking us to do more and more. Give light to all. We don't go into details, who's right, who's wrong, unjust, you know, just, all of this. In terms of that type of service, that type of spiritual service. Baba doesn't do it with us, does he? When we meet him, we take that drishti, whether it's in Baba's room, wherever it may be, he doesn't say, good heavens, what a karma. What a karma. What have you been doing all these lives? Have you ever noticed him do this? Ever felt it? He doesn't do it. He could, you know, he could go in and see every detail of every life if he wanted to. But he doesn't do it. Otherwise, we would have no courage to try to make any effort. Because the point is, it's all true. I mean, what he would see would be true. But he doesn't do that. He's at his high stage of love, and he knows his love and duty as for serving, for making himself available for souls to become happy again. To become healthy again. So he knows this karmic burden, but he will not even let us go into that karmic detail. What does he say? Past is past. Remember who you are, remember the Father, and give all your energy, time, and now to service. Serve with a pure heart. So in the same way, from beyond, in that sense, beyond, that when dealing with souls, have to be very careful not to go into this. This is right, this is wrong. Trying to defend one against the other. Yeah, there's just too many accounts there that it's, you know, you can take forever working certain things out. And it's not necessary. When an angel appears, every soul feels love. Whether it's a victim or an oppressor or this or that, every soul will feel blessed. And this is how it's supposed to be. As God has given us courage, we become instruments for others to receive the courage to come near to Baba and feel that they are loved by Him. So that this very deep, serviceable silence, this silence where I, the soul, am with the Father. And see, Brahma Baba must have done this so much and practiced it a lot. You know, didn't it slip from him? Of course. Of course things slipped from him. But this is why he made that effort. And the Avyat Muli is all his dharana to reach that angelic stage and inspiring us to get to that. Anyway, that's how I see it. And you know, being subtle is very tricky and slippery. Because we're, for example, used to a certain way of thoughts. And then to change them, we may do it for a day or two, but to keep that change going requires a lot of joyful introspection. You've got to have a big heart to want to do that type of effort. A big heart, a big generous heart. And in that big generous heart, the whole tree of humanity has to fit. Well, you don't make effort just for yourself, do you? I mean, we don't. Baba is inspiring us every morning now. Listen to your brother's souls. He's inspiring us to have a big heart and be generous. Your effort is never just for yourself. Never. So, of course, we respond. You know, Brahma Baba responded fully. So he responded so well. Yes, he became the father of humanity and the first angel. So if I'm stingy effort maker. You know what that is? Stingy effort maker. Oh, I've got some peace now. Yeah. Oh, I feel a little bit of a blessing now. Oh, I feel good now. A bit stingy. Only when you share something will it increase. There's no other way. Only through sharing can there be an increase of feeling love or peace or even God's companionship. So intense effort maker means being generous and listening to the call of time and the call of souls. Doesn't mean a labor to be perfect. It's not that. Baba was saying, as you're doing this, the perfection will automatically come in a very natural way. When you're using your thought energy, instead of for trivial, silly, little things, you've concentrated your energy, the thought of your thoughts and the energy of that, for service. And in that way, perfection comes. Authenticity comes. It won't come by, you know, laboring at it and working at it in a self-centered way. And then probably the final thing that helps a lot for this type of effort in order to pass with honors is Baba has given us this exercise of the five stages, you know, the point, the deity, the worship-worthy, etc. And then this morning, what did he say in the Muli? Evoke your perfect form. Because also that's a way to make an effort, that is, an attention. For example, the deity form. Baba says, this is your inheritance. The angelic form is the form of the pure server, the total companion of God. That's in this life. But within that, we also see and feel the deity form, the form of a genuine, true human being, but so pure that they are called deities. And how they live and how they relate to each other. They don't argue. Of course. But they don't have second thoughts. They say what they mean. And very often they don't have to say what they mean. They simply express what they are and what they mean through their face, through their behaviors. But is that deity form, that form, is it a reality for me? Or I still think a little bit, it's a bit, still a bit mythological. What am I working towards? I mean, what, it's a memory inside that authentic human life as a deity. It's a sanskar inside. There is that memory. That's why we searched so much. You know, the perfect relationship, the perfect world, the perfect child, this pure state of being where there's natural, I don't know if you know this word in other languages, but there's a natural complementarity, you know? All the souls complement each other because each one is complete. You can't get complementarity or souls complementing each other without each one being complete. Otherwise, there's attachments. And we know, deities don't have attachments, but they have very good relationships, don't they? Very good family life. So, Baba says this is your inheritance, the deity world. But in the deity world, there are human souls. It's not just nice nature, nice flowers. Yes, I'll come. They'll come back. But you know that deity form. So Baba's been telling us of this, of the exercises. I just take that one, but all of them have something special in them. But the deity is for 2,500 years. It's a long time. How real is it for me now? Do I see and feel that original human form? The soul, yes. I have to return back to being a point for purification and connect with the purifier. But then the way I'm living, are those qualities coming? Because Brahma Baba, the old man who was in his angelic form, and then Krishna. Many people saw Krishna as well. The deity. What does it mean to live in a true elevated consciousness where I can relate without need to nature and to others? I can stimulate that sanskar because it's there. Otherwise it's myth, you know, it becomes myth. You know, dressing up, dancing around, you know, the golden age parties. It's good to go a bit deeper. It's okay. Everything's fine in the drama. Everything's good. But something that moves me. Because I'm going to be in relationship for 5,000 years. We talk a lot about being a soul, being detached, being away from, go away from all relationships, Baba says. But actually, we are the souls that in the drama longest and have the most relationships more than other souls. And why is that? Because we have learned, Baba has taught us how to relate properly to matter, to time, to our body and to others. And it's totally, totally dependent on being complete in the self. And this is what is called purity, liberated in life. I don't have those selfish needs, those needy needs, those expectative needs that are always pulling for support. Deities don't do that. So rather than laboring, be detached, no needs, be hot, let me go into that sanskara. In meditation, let me go to that sanskara of God's inheritance. And he's reminding me, you are that. You've always been that. Just, click a little bit. It's not a fantasy, it's not a myth, you know. That's how you lived for a long time. So, deep and constant effort. Of course, I like to, we all like, don't we, to go back to our origins, the first human beings on the earth at the beginning of time, you know, and how they lived and how they interacted. Very, very fulfilling, very, very complimentary. But I need to evoke that sanskara, because everything's recorded in the soul. You know, Shiv Baba was able to pull it out of Brahma Baba. Huh? Brahma Baba didn't understand in the beginning, of course, but, you know. See, Shiv Baba is very cool. He knows what he has to do, not pushy. He just says, okay, he'll get it. He does more power, more power. All the rust will actually disappear. He'll get it. And of course, Brahma Baba was very open to it. Very surrendered, very, you know, he knew, he felt it. Although he couldn't always logically work it out, he something in him knew. And aren't we all like this? Time touches us. I'm sure all of us, before even we came to Gyan, time was touching us. Because there's something else, there's something more. We're not quite sure. And even after Gyan sometimes, we, you know, some things take time a little bit to fall into place. We are very much in love. We have found the key. We have found the one. But then, you know, certain adjustments have to be made. But then again, the love for the Supreme is what will carry me through those adjustments. So it's not difficult, is it? Intense. When Baba says intense effort, you know, sometimes people say, intense. How much more? How much harder? Yeah. Well, yeah, I've got to look at it in another way. How he says it. I must, you know, have another perspective. Volcanic. Yes. But then again, volcanic is not in the way I understand volcanic. You know, a volcanic, this means it's very deep, it's very intense, but it's very, at the same time, when you're in that, it's very cool, and things fly out of me. And then you start to feel a harmonization inside yourself. So volcanic in the sense of intensity and very, very deep. Things are dissolved away. Because otherwise we labor at the things. But if the remembrance, or tapasya is actually an accurate word for this, tapasya, if it's very, very deep and intense, it's not you feel, you know, sort of claustrophobic or hot. It's quite the opposite. You feel something is being released, things are being dissolved, and it's very strong. Actually, the soul starts to feel things, really, burdens being lifted. And the more it can stay in that tapasya, then more those things lift. It's very sweet. It's not hard. It's deep, it's strong, but it's very sweet. But for those who didn't hear, let's say the experience that Baba practiced with us yesterday, let's do it for ourselves now. That's like being very deeply connected with the Self, connected with the Father, and in that state of peace and light here and from here, or from all our being in our own body of light, you know, it's just concentrated. You know, this is actually, it's really the deepest mercy or love or kindness that we can share with our brother souls. Yes. And so let's experiment with that now. Om Shanti.